the book of Genesis. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Third chapter, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you so much for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the dear folk, Father, who's so faithful and here to hear the preaching of God's Word. And I want to thank you for them and ask you, God, to bless them in a real special and wonderful way. And Lord, tonight we certainly need your power and your wisdom. We ask you to help us tonight, empower us as we preach, that thy Word would go forward. And Lord, do those things that it needs to accomplish in your perfect will tonight, those things that need to be done and helped. So we ask you to do that, and Lord, when it's all said and done, we will remember to praise you and thank you for your goodness and kindness to us. Thanking you in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. I read to you tonight the story of Adam and Eve and their being willing to go and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I read to you the story tonight of what's the matter with each and every one of us. I read the story of sin. That's the problem in our lives. That's a problem in America today. It's a problem all across the world. Sin is the problem. We're the ones that God has left here and sent here to do everything we can to solve that problem by preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of God, killed, buried, and risen again. We're here to preach that message, and it's up to us to get that message out. Now, the problem is, it seems like that we live in kind of, I think I mentioned before, we live in kind of an instant potato type society. We're living in a day when everybody wants things done immediately. I mean, we want it accomplished right now. I mean, you know, let's get it done. Let's put it in the microwave. Let's do it. We mentioned that to you before, but that's the kind of society that we're living in. But the old-fashioned way is just simply preparing the ground, getting it ready. Here, the last day of February, I went out and took my tiller and dug the ground up. It was dry enough to do that. I did that. I planted me some green onions. And I have some green onions coming up through the ground, about that far, you know. And so what I'm saying is, it didn't get done by itself. It had to be tilled. It had to be prepared. It had to be planted. Then you have to wait. It's going to be a little while before I can eat those things. I'm ready, but it's going to be a while before I can eat them. And then you got to go out, you got to pull them, and you got to wash them off and get them all cleaned up and cut up and all that. And my wife usually takes care of that part of it and gets them all ready. And then you do whatever you need to do to them, and then you just eat them. Amen. I mean, that's the way it is. But you can't do that in instant way unless you go to the store and buy them. If you want to grow them, you're just going to have to go out and do the whole thing. You're going to have to get it all tilled up, going to have to plant them, going to have to wait, going to have to do all those things and get them ready and eat them. Now, the reason I'm saying that to you today is because God's plan is that a way too. The sowing of God's Word, the sowing in people's hearts of the Word of God is that a way. We want everything, seems like, to be done just immediately. It usually, I say to you, does not happen that a way. Sometimes you'll see someone born again. I mean, right after they've been witnessed to. But most of the time, you'll find out they've been witnessed to before. Somebody else has brought the gospel to them. That is not always true. It's possible for a person to be saved because they've heard the gospel, and they heard it, and they got saved. But let me say to you, God talks a lot in His Word about the sowing of the Word of God, the sowing of the seed. So I believe with all of my heart we need to do the sowing. We need to do the preparation work so that we can see the fruit down the road. And I believe we as God's children, and you say, Brother Ross, don't do any good to go out there. Oh, yes, it does. You're kind of like the two boys who was out and had two BB guns, and one of them pulled up and said, I'm just going to shoot at that moon. And that guy said, the other boy said, well, you're just as silly as you can be. You know, I can't hit that moon. He said, I know I can't if I don't shoot. And I want to tell you something. You will never win anybody if you don't witness. You'll never win anybody if you don't witness. You'll be like that other boy that had the BB gun, didn't want to shoot. I'm just saying to you, we have got to get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. You see, God sent a man. I have a message. I preached it here. I don't know when. It's been a long time ago. But I preached a message on the man and his method and his message. And the man was sent from God. The Bible says that John was a man sent from God. That's only God's plan. He sends people to people to give them the gospel. And the method he used was preaching. The Bible says he came preaching. That's the method. Now you say, Brother Austin, me and I got to get up behind a pulpit. I think you know better than that. But it's preaching, carrying the Word of God. It's someone, individual, taking the Bible, taking the Word of God and giving it to people so that they'll know and understand, you see, the method is preaching and the message is Jesus Christ. That's the message. Now, you're familiar with those things. Those things are kind of elementary to you. You're familiar with them, but you need to be reminded of the fact that you're an individual that God wants to use to carry the message, the preaching of the Word of God, and that message is Jesus Christ. And we need to take it. It's the only way it's going to be. The only way it's going to get done. See, the problem is sin, and Jesus is the only one can answer or solve that problem. There is nobody else can solve it. And we are commanded of God Almighty to take that wonderful message of Jesus Christ and preach it to those no matter where they are. So I'm simply saying to you, we come to that place, and what happens is this. The Word of God, I'm not going to take you over there, but the 15th chapter of John, you're familiar with that portion of Scripture, talks about being abiding in Christ, and He will abide in us. And if you abide in Christ, He says you'll produce fruit. Now what happens is this, when we don't produce fruit, what begins to happen is preachers look around and say, I don't understand why it is we don't have people getting saved. I don't understand all of this. And instead of understanding that people must abide in Christ before they can bring forth fruit, they begin to come up with all kinds of schemes to go around God's plan. Now, folks, there's just one plan for God, and that plan is that you need to just simply be the fruit bearer that God wants you to be. In other words, you don't go out, you don't point to an apple tree, and you don't say to that apple tree, I command you to bear apples. It bears apples because it's an apple tree. And Christians bear fruit because they're Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So again, I'm simply saying to you, it's the heart of man that must be prepared to win the lost. We must be prepared so that we can bear fruit. The vine puts forth that which we need into the branch, and then the branch can produce fruit. Isn't that right? I mean, that's the way the apple tree does it. Hey, right? Isn't that right? Sure it is. So I'm simply saying to you folks is, God wants to put in you and I that which we need to produce fruit. We need to be fruit producers. Amen? Now you want to kind of move away from that. You want to just kind of say, well, you know, that is for somebody else, but it isn't for somebody else. It is for you, and it's for me. We are to be fruit producers. Why? Because we're in the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and that fruit producing will just automatically come. Doesn't mean you're going to run all over the place hollering and screaming. It means that you're just going to automatically produce fruit because you're hooked in to the vine. Amen? That's the way it is. So I'm just simply saying, you understand, that's really not what we're preaching about tonight, but you understand, you see, no amount of self-confidence in self is going to get the job done. It is absolutely impossible for you to do that work in yourself. We must do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So the problem is this. There's a sin problem that we read about. The only answer to that sin problem is Jesus Christ. He's already taken care of it. He's done everything that's needful to be done. He's taken care of the sin problem. And every person, any individual on the face of this earth can have their sins forgiven. It's already provided. Amen? I mean, you understand that, I understand that. Now, it's up to us to get the message to them. I want to look for a little while and talk to you about the problem of a sinner and what we can do about it. You know, in what I read to you, if we went back to the second chapter and looked at all of it, God took Adam and the Bible says that he allowed him to name all the animals. And he looked for a helpmeet, and there was no helpmeet to be found. And so, of course, God made Eve. You're all familiar with that. He made Eve for Adam. And I don't know exactly how it all happened, but I really believe that what happened was that after Eve came onto the scene, that Adam probably took Eve one day and went around and showed her all the animals and said, this is in his name so-and-so. This is what I named this animal. And I can almost hear Eve and oohing and ahhing and all of that and looking at nice little puppies and saying, aren't they so cute? And all kinds of things that she might have said. But anyway, I think that what Adam did is teach her and showed her. I know also that he told her about the tree that was in the midst of the garden, because God had already told Adam about that. And he told her about that tree. We can't eat of that tree. We just can't do it. That's what God won't allow us to eat of that tree. So in other words, you and I know that soon, of course, sin came upon the scene. And because of that sin, you and I sit here tonight in a sinful condition. Now, we may have our sins forgiven, but sin has raked our bodies. Sin has destroyed lives. Sin today is the reason why there's sickness. I'm not saying just because of their sin, but sin has brought the bodies to decay. You don't believe that? Go into the nursing homes and look around. And you'll find out it's a terrible thing that sin has done. Adam and Eve never understood what they was doing when they sinned. But it's a horrible thing. Go to the hospital. If you go up to see Ashley, look around. Look around the hospital and you'll see the result of sin, the original sin that's happened to all of us. The deterioration of our bodies is there, and also the deterioration of this planet Earth and all kinds of things. I'm simply saying it's because of sin. Now the Bible tells us in Proverbs, the 13th chapter, that the way of a transgressor is hard. The way of a sinner is hard. In other words, without Christ, there is no future for them whatsoever. They have the tragedy facing them of eternal suffering forever and ever and ever. Now, that's for sure. You see, that's what sin done to mankind. We also find that he said the way of sinner is the way of bitterness. In other words, sin starts off sweet, but it turns bitter. It may be fun to start with, but it turns bitter in life. Solomon said at the end of his life, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. In other words, here he had everything possible, and he looked and said, it's just all a vanity. Why? Because of the sin principle in everybody's life, what sin has done unto us. The Bible also shares with us that the way of sinner is a type of slavery. A person starts out playing around with sin, just dabbling in it, just having a little fun with it. But it isn't long they understand that underneath that bait which has attracted them, there is a hook. And that hook, all at once, has got them hooked. And they become slaves to sin. That's the way of a sinner. The way of a sinner is hardness of heart. He continues to sin and continues to sin and continues to sin, and he gets to the place where it doesn't bother him anymore. The more you or I will sin, the easier it becomes. And the sinner goes on for years and years and years and continues in his sin. That's why it's very difficult to see someone who is older come to Christ. We're not saying it's impossible to do that. We know it is possible. We've seen many folk come to Christ that's older. Thank God for that. But it's more difficult. And the reason is because of the hardness of the heart. They've just continued to sin and continued to sin, and their old hearts just get hard. We find out, though, also he talks about the way of a sinner is death. He says the wages of sin is death. We must understand the consequences of this that happened back in the Garden of Eden. The wage of that mankind earns is death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. In the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. This is one of those places, though, where we as God's people are failing. We do not have a deep understanding of what it means for an individual to truly be lost. If we did, we'd be more concerned about those that are lost. We do not really have a deep conviction that someone who you know that doesn't know Christ is burning in a devil's hell 2 seconds after he's died. Burning there and will burn there for eternity. Now folks, as God's children, we need to abide in Christ. We need to see to it that our lives are surrendered to Jesus Christ so that we can go out there and stop some of them from dropping into hell. And that's for every single one of us. That's not just for maybe you or I, but it's all for everybody that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. We need to realize how serious this situation is. The wages of sin is death. Now, do you believe it? Do you understand that? It'll change your life if you get a hold of the fact. You look at one of your neighbors, you look at one of your friends, you look at one of your work people you work with, somebody else you know is lost, and you look at that individual and say, if he takes his last breath, he's going to be burning in a devil's hell forever. Now, folks, isn't that true? Isn't that true? Well, what I'm simply saying is I know you can't make that individual get saved, but we can give them the message that will save them. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying to you and I, we've got to get the message out. We've got to tell people about Christ. We've got to see to it that this problem we found in the book of Genesis is taken care of. It's been solved by Jesus Christ, and they're just waiting for the message to get to them to hear it so that they can be saved. All of them are not going to be saved, but some will. I've seen enough people saved through witnessing for Jesus Christ to believe he's still got folk out there who needs to be saved. Don't you? Folks, it's not all done in a church service. Most church services, I don't know how I could put a number on it, but most church services has in their service a very small percentage of unsaved folk. It isn't going to get done all here in the house of God. Aren't we grateful when it does? Don't we thank God and praise God for what God done in our midst? Oh, yes, we are. But, folks, it isn't going to get done all here. It's going to get done out there on the highways and the byways. It's going to get done you giving forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, becoming just concerned enough about that person that you know that's lost by giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only message that will save them. So we know that the way of the sinner is death. Not only that, the way of the sinner is judgment. There's no doubt about that. We talked about that a little bit. One of these days, every single individual will face God. Whatever condition they're in, they're saved, thank God. They'll save him. They'll face him as a saved individual. But those who are not saved is going to face God as a lost individual and will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Now that ought to have enough meaning to us that we ought to get a burden about doing everything that we can do to change that situation. Let me say something to you. Whether you realize it or not, the devil is a good preacher. He's got a horrible message, but he's a good preacher. He knows what he's doing. For 6,000 years, he hasn't stopped preaching his message. If we as Christians would do as the devil does, we'd have that message everywhere. But the devil is a good preacher, terrible message, but he sends his message and preaches his message continually. What he does is he erects his pulpit in the hearts of individuals and preaches his message to them. The Bible tells us that hell must enlarge itself to be able to hold all of those that are lost. So I'm saying to you, he knows what he's doing. He's a faithful preacher. He's got a terrible message, but he's very faithful at preaching his word instead of the word of God. We ought to be just as faithful in preaching the word of God to those who are lost. Now I'm going to just give you three things, very simple things. Three basic things that he preaches. Now there's multitudes of things that enter into that. But there's three basic things that he's going to preach. We find them in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. That which I read unto you. First of all, in verse one, number one, he says, "Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of this of every tree of the garden." In other words, he just simply said, "Yea, hath God said." You've heard this type of message before. You've heard what Satan did there. What he simply did was, he said to Eve, "Is God's word really true?" In other words, does God really mean what he said? Now, that same message is being presented by Satan all over this world. You hear it. If you'll go on visitation, you'll knock on a door, you'll hear it. "Well, you know, that Bible was written by man." Oh, Satan in the background saying, "Yea, hath God said." It's constantly going on. The basic thing that he does, one of the basic things he does, for I believe, he condemns the Bible, or he simply says the Bible is not true. He'll do anything he can to destroy this wonderful book. Perversions are out there by the hundreds. And the reason they're out there is simply because it's Satan's work trying to destroy the Word of God. He'll do anything he can to get you, even you, to not take the Word of God literally. We know it's God's Word. And we need to take it literally. You see, the devil preaches against new birth. He just simply says, "All you have to do is do your best and be all right, and God will surely take care of you," and all that. He preaches against it. But we're supposed to preach the new birth. You must be born again or you can't go to heaven. Think back to the day when you got born again. That's the only way that you can be assured of heaven. 1966, when I got born again. Amen. Now the devil says you don't need to be born again. I'm just simply saying to you, the devil says, go ahead and eat of that fruit. Go ahead and sin. It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and do it. It don't bother anything. That's his message. And I say to you, folks, we've got to understand that he's constantly going to look down upon this Bible and get people to look down upon it and to change it, do anything he can to change the Bible, the Word of God. You've got to understand something. You must take a hold of this wonderful Word of God, King James Version of the Bible, the Word of God, and say, "This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. It's what God said, and I believe it. It's right here. God left it for me, and I'm not going to believe anything else but this." Now, you got to get a hold of that. You got to do that. You got to determine that, or it won't be long. You'll be looking around and wondering if God really meant what he said in the Bible. Now, let me assure you, I think you already know this. God did mean what he said. And the Bible tells us that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I believe that. I believe the wicked who has not accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that is the wicked, will be turned into hell. Amen. You're sitting here today and you're not saved. If you should die, you will be turned into hell forever. Amen. Now, we've got to get a hold of that. We've got to believe it, because that's what God said. It's true what God said, you see. Now, of course, we always hear that thing that God would not send anyone to hell. That's one of those things that Satan has used down through the years and is still using that thing. We know that God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose to go to hell. See, you don't have to go to hell. All you have to do is receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and He'll take you to heaven. And if you continue in your same way you are without Christ, you will just continue on until you go to hell. It's not a matter of God sending. It's a matter of God constantly encouraging you to come to Christ. So I'm saying to you, He wants to put doubt on the Bible, the Word of God. The next thing He does, in verse number 4, He says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." In other words, the one thing that He puts forth as His teaching is that individuals, even if they die, they won't die in their sins. It'll be all right. God has a wonderful place prepared for everybody. Why would God send anybody to hell? He doesn't want you to believe, doesn't want anybody to believe when they take that last breath that they're going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. But God says they are. Devil says, you just do as you wish. Live any way you want to live, sin, do whatever you want to do, and it'll be all right. You will not have to pay for it. You have a loving God that will forgive you no matter what. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God will forgive you, but it's always through Jesus Christ. Sure, we have a loving God. Sure, we have a forgiving God, but it must be through Jesus Christ. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you that we need to not think that God is mocked, because you know what? We will absolutely reap what we sow. And if you sow unto Christ and receive Him as personal Savior, you'll reap eternity in heaven. And if you don't, you won't. Boy, in the book of Proverbs, what a tremendous book that is, and I'm sure you already know that. I'm not telling you anything new, but in chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs, we've been studying that the last two Sundays here in our adult Sunday school class. But oh, what a picture it gives of a young man who did not think he would have to pay for his sin. And if you look and follow down through that, you see that young man going down the wrong street to the harlot's house. And then after a bit, you see God saying what has happened because of that and the consequences of him going down that street. And let me say to you at the end of it, it says she forced him with her enticing words. It's a strong saying there. It's like she took him and grabbed him and forced him. But it's not what it's saying. It's saying with the words she enticed him and forced him to follow after her. And it's like an ox going to the slaughter. That young man did not think he was going to have to pay for his sin. He thought it would be all right. He did not look ahead at the consequences and all that was going to take place. He simply just went and followed and entered into her door. And then, of course, the Bible says it was like a dart that struck in his liver. I've wondered about that saying, and I've thought about that, and I wonder if it possibly meant some type of, also might have meant some kind of disease. I don't know. But I'm simply saying I wonder about that. But the possibility of immorality always brings the possibility of disease. And you know, people today are going about doing these things and as though it doesn't matter and as though they will not have to pay. Yes, we'll have to pay. And I'm saying to you simply this, you can be assured of. Satan says you won't have to pay for that sin. It's all right. God will just overlook it. But that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says the wages of sin is death, but the Bible says it's not. In other words, don't worry about it, folks. It'll be all right. No, God says that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die, you see. He's going to do that. That's what He tells us. But the old devil comes along and he says no. He preaches a different message, an opposite message of what God and the Word of God preaches. And there's been multitudes and multitudes of many men and women who's believed Satan's message and thought that everything would be just fine and they would not have to suffer for their sin. But that's not true. In chapter 5, in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Genesis, he says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The other thing the devil does is simply this. He just simply gives it forth the teaching that you can save yourself. You don't have to worry about it. You don't need Christ. You can just simply save yourself. You see, he preaches that we can be like gods. Now, there's false religions out there, and I know you don't believe the Mormon teaching, but that's what they teach. They teach that you'll become as gods, just like Jesus Christ has become a god, little g. And you can become gods just like him. Now, that's the devil's teaching. In other words, you can just decide what's good and right, what's wrong, and what isn't wrong. You can come to that decision. That's what mankind is doing today. They're in our land, in America today, they're absolutely doing that which is right in their own eyes. If we lie, it's all right to lie. It doesn't matter, but that's not what God says. If we commit immorality, and we say, well, that's all right, that's just the way life is. No, it isn't. God says it's sin, it's wrong. If we steal, we say, well, I had it coming. No, you didn't. It's wrong. God says stealing is wrong. You see, there's the standard that God has set forth in his word, and we must believe it. But old Satan gets people to believe that all you have to do is simply just do the best you can do and do whatever you want to do, and everything will be all right. That's a lie. Jesus said you must be born again. Now, folks, one of the things I want to ask you tonight, are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know for sure? I'm not trying to put a doubt in your heart. Brother Alley was telling me about an older gentleman who's about 80 years old up at Hope Baptist in Indianapolis, and said that they were having great revival up there. And he's an 80-year-old man, been in the church, I guess, helped found the church. Is that right? I think I'm saying right. Helped found the church. And he came forward at one of the meetings and said, I need to get saved. He said, I just need to get saved. And they said, oh, you've been saved for a long... No, he said, I need to get saved. I've been dealing with this for years and years and years with years. And when he got saved, revival broke out. Now, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to put doubt in your heart. I'm saying, though, wouldn't it be good to check it out? Wouldn't it be good to just make sure you're born again, you're God's child? Can you go back to that time when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know you're born again? Again, it's not putting doubt in your heart. Just know for sure you're saved. That's important. Every individual in this room needs to know for sure they're saved. Jesus says you must be born again. If you're not born again, you won't go to heaven. Is that right? Sure. Now, if you are born again, you'll go to heaven, you see. So what Satan was telling Eve is that she needed just to come to God in her way. In other words, lift up yourself, become a god, and everything will be all right. You see, if you'll just eat of that tree, your heart will be open, your mind will be open, and you'll become as gods. Amen? No, that's not right. You know, you see what happened to Adam and Eve and the result of it upon all mankind. Again, I'm simply saying he's a good preacher with a terrible message. And his message is that you can just get to heaven your way. You can just work your way to heaven. But God says absolutely not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need to be born again. You see, the devil teaches that man is righteous within himself. Have you ever heard that teaching that there's a little spark of righteousness in everybody? That's not what God says. God says we've all sinned. We're dirty, filthy sinners. Amen. That ought not to hurt your heart when God says we're all dirty, rotten sinners. That means you, that means me. Amen. That's what we are. In God's eyes, that's what we are. But being born again, we become righteous in Christ Jesus. Amen. Tremendous, you see. But old Satan is preaching his message. He will continue to preach it. He will keep preaching it until one of these days God takes him and throws him into the bottomless pit, and then, of course, later on takes him up out of there and puts him in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. But he's going to keep preaching it, folks, and he's preaching it today. He's someone who's very attractive. He's one of these people. He can present himself as someone who's very, very nice. And you will find them preaching the kind of message that old Satan preached in the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm saying to you folks, you say, well, Brother Ross, what's this all about? We've got to set up the pulpit in this community and around the world and preach Christ. Now, the message has to get out. When I look at little children and these precious children around here, I think, wonder how many of them is going to be missionaries. Wonder how many of them is going to be preachers. Wonder how many of them is going to be deacons. Wonder how many of them is going to be just people in a church that's just going to get in there and stand for right and do right and uplift their church and help their church. Wonder how many of them, one of these days, not only on youth visitation, but will continue to be witnesses for Jesus Christ after they graduate.
Amen.
See, the world changes after graduation. After we move out of our house where we don't have to do those things that we used to have to do, all at once we then begin to make a choice of what we're going to do, whether we're going to be witnesses for Christ or not. Amen? Yeah, we make a choice. You see, and my prayer is this, that these young people that's coming up in this church will not stop at the year of graduation, but will continue on for the rest of their life to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's what we need. And we're the ones that has got the message. We've got it. And folks, I'm saying to you, we've got to get that message out. Everything we do around here, every meeting that is planned for the purpose of getting the message of Jesus Christ out. We had a foundation conference, and you heard the message of Jesus Christ. We have revival meetings, and in the fall, we're going to have a tent meeting. In the fall, September the 14th, we're going to start it. Bob Kelly's coming. For sure, we've got others possibly going to come. What I'm saying to you is we're going to have a meeting. That meeting, of course, is to help Christians and build Christians. But when you build Christians, you build them to go out and be soul winners. But in that meeting, we want to see people saved. Youth revival coming up this next weekend. What's the purpose of it, Brother Ross? Get folks saved. Get folks saved. They're working with the young people, trying to get young people in here, 5th grade on through 12th grade. What for? Get them in here, hear the message of salvation, you see. And I believe that there will be a good number of unsaved young people in this services this next weekend. I believe that. I believe God will bless it. And what's the purpose of it? Getting the message out to them that Jesus is the only way that they can go to heaven. They need Christ to be saved. So I'm saying to you again, we have the answer to the sin problem. We have it. And the only thing is, many times we're refusing to give it out. Now, folks, listen to me. Listen to your preacher just a moment. I don't know what you do every week. I really don't know what you do. Week after week after week. I don't know. But don't you think it would be proper? Don't you think that Jesus Christ himself would want you throughout the week to tell somebody about him? I mean, don't you think that would... I don't think I'm asking anything that Christ wouldn't want. Amen? Now stop and ask yourself right now a question. How long has it been since you simply took the Bible and showed somebody how to be saved? How long has it been? You say you're trying to put me on a guilt trip. I hope so. Because if we are not presenting the gospel, we are guilty. Amen. Now, I'm simply saying to you folks, it's our responsibility. You will run into people this coming week whom God wants you to give the gospel to. I don't know what the situation will be. It's none of my business. But I know you will see people this week whom God wants you to present the gospel of Christ. See, I'm not calling you to be a preacher. I'm not calling you to run up to and fro. I'm calling you to live a life that will present the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever you go. You'd be surprised what God could do right through this church right here. You'd be surprised what God could do if every one of us would just determine to do that. See, I'm not putting pressure on you. Say, Brother Ross, you say, I don't have the... Yes, you do have the time. You're going to live this week, aren't you? I mean, you're going to survive this week. You're going to do the thing, aren't you? Well, then just let God use you. Amen? Now, I'm asking you tonight to determine that. And you know what's happening right now in the minds of some of them, some folk? They are turning me off like the old-fashioned radio. Right now, it's happening. I'm being turned off. They're saying, That's not for me. I'm not going to do it. It is for you if you're a Christian. See, that's why, that's the problem we're having here in America. Folk who turn the radio off when God's talking to them. They won't listen. I'm simply saying to you folks, you and I can be used of God this week to tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen? And you're supposed to do that because God said you are. You're not exempt. Care what your situation is, you're not exempt. It's our responsibility to tell people about Christ. So I'm simply saying we have the answer to that sin problem found in Genesis 3. All I'm asking you to do is that which God would ask all of us to do. Just let him use you to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you tonight, I'm going to put you on the spot. He said, oh boy, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm just going to ask you this. Are you willing to be used of God? Are you willing to let God use you this week to present the gospel of Jesus Christ this week? Would you be willing to let God use you to do that? If so, I want you to raise your hand. Do you mean it? All right. Now, I'm just simply saying to you, now when you go home, don't you forget this. God wants to use you present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's do it for his glory. Time is running out. I feel that in my heart. I feel like time is running out. We need to get people saved. Let's pray. Father, thanking you again today for the wonderful grace of God. Thanking you for your goodness, your kindness. And Father, I thank you for those who's willing to simply say, God, I'm willing to be used of you to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, use us. Help us, guide us, direct us, empower us to do your work, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.